Yellowburn.
Yellowburn.
I tried to introduce.
Oh, nice. Okay, a reboot made everything look normal. We need one more camera. And we've got 8 minutes.
Real thing.
I know, nobody takes this as seriously as I do. I'm on a countdown.
Great, Carolyn, I want you up here now.
So, is it just R.A. Wine? Were you given that name?
Hey, Rich, is that camera working?
Named after...
I think you need to do your
there were six of us in the family.
I'm trying to, but I don't seem to get a video feed.
And they get fit because we didn't name them right.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It's probably trying.
That's a good story with that. When I was expecting, my mother had already had two girls and decided it was going to be a boy.
Oh, right.
My uncle, Raymond, who had property in Atlantic City that everybody had their eye on, was diagnosed with cancer. He lived another 8 months in the seventh year or so. He had been banged up by my father. So I got stuck with the name and nobody got any capacity.
I will.
When?
Good story.
24.
When my house, my dad was Jim, I was Jim, my mother.
Oh, hey, it's on.
Sibling married a Jim, and they
awesome. How do we look on screen?
So at Christmas dinner, there was.
I work for tips, you know.
Yeah.
Then you change your name.
No, not that. Not
that. No. Well, yeah, IOUs are next week's payment.
I got taller than all of them.
I'll take an IOU on that.
So, so they call me Big Jim. They call me Big Jim. And then there's Wee Jimmy, which is my young
cousin. The screen just...
Slim Jim.
I wonder how that got that name.
I don't think so. But I'm still getting a video signal.
Slim Jim.
I'm just
mean the tool?
Still not
it
able to use it yet for some reason.
Slim Jim, the tool? Yeah. Yeah. Just because it's rhymes, just a rhyming joke, you know? Slim Jim.
But then we have
our two that she came last year.
Yep. I believe we did.
What's that?
Yeah, I'm going to send her a message.
With the yes.
You're talking about him breaking now.
Yeah.
Right.
So we celebrate together.
You know.
Oh, okay. It's working now. I don't know why. It's required a series of reboots to get any real intelligence out of it.
But it was really Leslie Howard.
It's probably all those updates.
He's the junior. Leslie Junior. So when our first son was born, we named him Daniel Howard. Okay. And then we just had a new baby in August. And his name.
That should do it. And
so the Howard is kind of
nice to carry it down.
Yeah. But it's partly because our son thought that Grandpa's first name was Howard. But he said, no, that was his middle name. That's okay.
We had a pastor.
All right.
That was
activated yet.
In Wimas. And he had a baby. And they were
oh no, and nobody's at home. I guess we're not doing
Joseph,
the audio today.
Joseph something or other. Translated, they decided not to do that because they were living in Mexico. Translated in Mexican, there would be no way Jose.
Bob, I want to hear that again. What was it?
Chevy Nova, the car.
Oh, yeah.
It was a terrible seller in South America, Latin America, because it means doesn't go.
You have Instagram? Do you subscribe to my Instagram?
No, sir. Just let me down. I was a child care worker at the time, and you know, when kids
go look at it and subscribe to my Instagram channel.
And I had to get rid of that car because too many times it was just
cool.
Like that.
It lived up to its name.
I'd have to phone in.
That was the name of the car was what?
Nova.
He's Chevy Nova. He coaches soccer team, and he promised the soccer team if they won a game. he would wear a dress to the next game.
Well, he's good to his word.
All right, but
I'm thinking he's wearing that a little too proud, if you ask me.
My Instagram channel.
That's decided not to work. A day where everything that could decide not to work is decided not to work.
New Year.
Yes.
We're
New Year and old problems.
that would qualify your purchasers anyway. I used to sell real estate, and that was always one of the big things. You had to qualify that. Like, there's no sense in spending a lot of time with somebody who really couldn't.
All right, I'm hitting the streaming button in case anyone's interested. I hope this audio is coming across okay. Testing. What's that?
Can I get it then?
Can you get it? What do you mean?
You're hitting the streaming button, you said.
Oh, you got to plug that into something to get it.
Oh, really?
Darn. What did you think of that?
It's brand new.
It's brand new.
Just took it out of the box.
So you understand you're gonna require a secondary device to use that.
I don't appear anything.
I understand that much.
Okay.
But that's about all I understand.
Well, then you're set. You're set to ask this group questions.
Good.
Hey, you know what's really missing is I don't have a cup of coffee. How did that even happen?
Shut everything down.
Yeah, I'm going home.
Nobody move. Till I get my coffee.
I need my coffee.
Hang on, I'm working on it.
You've been a bad boy.
Is that it? But I'd sure like to know why I can't make this second display work. Let me try that one more time. I want to extend the display so
you
can stick stuff
in.
Oh, well, thank you.
We don't want them running.
They really
was the clean glass extra?
Yes.
Don't knock it. Somebody loved you.
That's right. Yeah, that should be working. Thank you, Bill, for looking out for me. I appreciate that.
Anytime. See? Anytime. I got your back.
I got here. Nobody even noticed that I've been gone for 2 weeks.
What's your name again?
Yeah, right.
Who are you?
Russ never didn't let him in here unnoticed.
Jim, how are you doing?
Yeah, thank you, honey.
Oh, did you order your coffee? Oh, you got it.
I got it, yeah. Bill jumped up and grabbed me a cup.
I used to own a restaurant. I know
how
this
is.
Sure,
I just got his shirt.
Can we make room for Irv, or does he want to sit there?
I don't know. Do we need Irving? Do you want to move into this table? Should we move another table in? Yeah, can we make some more space on...
Which side?
I don't know. Which side should we do it? Or maybe with Jim over here at this table.
Which one? This one or the other one?
We just don't want to exclude you.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome back.
Okay, if anybody's out there wondering why YouTube's working, the audio's not working on the audio stream, it's because the audio stream is down. Probably something at my house.
The only guy that really recognizes that I've been gone for a while.
There'll be a podcast, but there won't be an audio stream. Sorry, guys. Anybody out there listening? You'll have to do it on YouTube. Nobody's listening, so nobody cares. Hey, this is all just, you know, I have to go through the motions regardless.
Yeah, that's right. Ex-principal used to every once in a while on the announcement say, if anybody can't hear us, send the runner to the school or to the office.
That's right. If anyone's out there can't hear what we're saying, can't see us.
Gary.
Can't get connected to us.
We have company that.
That's true.
Drop over. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yep. We'll be starting video in just a moment. In fact, we should have started a minute ago, so Let me show my face. There we are.
Purchase the house.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the San Carlos Computer Club first meeting of 2020.
We can see clearly now.
Yay! Are you going to break into song? We are...
To the street that they front.
We're waiting for Ray to finish your story.
I'm not going to gossip for the whole world.
She can tell me later on. She's very, very accommodating. She just referred to you.
Oh, okay. You mean as far as technical advice?
No. It was just a friend.
Oh, good, good. Those references that are not technical make me nervous.
Right, because you don't need any more enemies.
That's right. Wait a second. I have no enemies. Until this meeting's over. Well, this is a great group. I'm sorry for the folks that showed up last week. Maybe I wasn't so clear. I did post it on Facebook, if you're on Facebook. I did post it on our website that our next meeting would be today, and I apologize for anybody that didn't get the message.
I was here last week.
Yeah. Did you have a good breakfast?
Did you have a good breakfast? What did you guys talk about? About you. To be a fly on the wall of that meeting.
You'll never know.
No, I wasn't here.
Yes? That explains why I didn't get paid.
We're withholding wages now.
That's right.
What's our waitress's name?
Fernanda.
Fernanda?
I believe it's Fernanda.
Last time we were here, it was pouring into the
ceiling. Wasn't that amazing? I'm still very impressed by all the members that decided to show up on that Christmas Eve meeting with the weather the way it was, and we had to do that mad dash from here over to the other part of the restaurant. I had all this equipment 90% connected, and then there was so much water on the floor that there was no way that we were going to leave it all connected. I set equipment up on the bar thinking if it does start to get wet, that won't get wet. And by the time I'm moving it off the bar, there's an outline of my equipment on the bar. So thank you guys for showing up for the last meeting and for the meeting that didn't happen last week. But this is our first meeting of 2020.
Maggie, do you want coffee?
If it's not obvious, 2020 is starting exactly like every other year. We have no agenda, no organization, no set agenda points. We've got nothing.
Okay. Yeah, we're gone.
Rush, you can't leave until we haven't done anything.
Okay.
So I have very few topics with me. I've been on vacation with my children, and so I haven't paid too much attention to what's going on. I did bring a little bit of stuff, but I'm happy to answer questions. I'm curious, what kind of technology came into your world over the Christmas break?
I got a pencil.
And Bob, is it Wi-Fi connected?
I'm trying. I keep pushing the button, nothing happens.
It won't connect. Well, you have to hit the WPS button on your router,
then
hold it closed. Look at the world we live in. Bill's talking about pressing the button on the pencil, and that doesn't faze me at all. It's not a number two, obviously.
It's an HP.
It's an HP pencil. Just reboot it, and it'll start working again.
Unplug it. Plug it in.
Okay, yeah. So you asked.
So, Bob, tell us about your new device.
Well, how many of you are still using Windows 7?
Oh.
Just you.
Just you, Bob.
Just you, Bob.
Okay.
You shouldn't need Windows 10 for this.
Okay. I bought Chromecast. How many of you use Chromecast?
I have.
That's interesting. And so I want to stream, and I want to put pictures on my big TV that I bought for $200. It's a 60-inch TV.
Where from?
Where?
Huh?
Where'd you get a TV for $200?
Got it through Rise. Rise is a company.
I'm just stealing your equipment. I'm just reaching right over you, Bob, and stealing your equipment.
To handicapped people, and I'm handicapped.
We're not touching that.
Shut up.
Should we take a poll? There'll be a poll on the website later.
And I want to put pictures, Picasso pictures. I want to have a revolving pictures. I can call up Switzerland mountains. I can call up Australia.
Hey, Bob, everything that's in my hand came in the box, right?
Right. Everything came in the box. Everything.
Everything that I grabbed from you came in the box, except for this. I don't know what that is.
No, that's my hearing device.
Oh.
He's handicapped.
He's supposed to say, what?
So anyway, I want to be able to put pictures on my 60-inch TV, and I understand that I can do that with an app, but I don't know what app.
Well, so the Chromecast, has anybody who's used the Chromecast, used it specifically for slideshows? The Chromecast is going to show pictures when it's connected to your TV set that it will select. But I'm believing that you're able to select pictures out of your Google Photos and have those show up.
Right. I understand that.
Well, then you've exceeded all the knowledge I have to pass.
But I believe there's an app. Because I'll tell you who turned me on to this was Ronald. Remember the black man that was here? He has cancer, and he's back in Omaha on his last days. But he's working on it.
Oh, no.
And he just turned that thing on. And
so... So, Bob, I have not used Google Photos with the Chromecast, but I would imagine that if you install the Google Photos app in your phone, you're going to be able to cast that over to your screen.
Or with an iPad.
Or with an iPad, that's right. Right.
And I don't have an iPad, and I don't have a phone.
What about a computer?
But my wife has one.
Yeah, it gets a little weirder then.
But what I really want to put Picasso, I want to put Rembrandt, I want those pictures up there, and then travel pictures. That's what I want. I believe
has anybody done this with the Chromecast? I have not done this with the Chromecast.
Well, I know it's available, but I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Just have their collection up or something.
Oh, live TV photos all on the big screen. Show movies, YouTube live. So in a nutshell, what I know about the Chromecast is that you are able to broadcast a Chrome window. I'm going to go through some of the features I know, and it doesn't touch on what you're trying to do. It sounds like we're going to have to come back. Maggie has turned me on to a Chromecast, and I will connect it this week, and I will try and do what you want to do. But I think that the starting point would be the photos that you want would have to be stored in Google Photos. And then after that, it's got to be a matter of either bringing the Photos app up on your phone and connecting to the Chromecast, or telling it to use the Chromecast as a display device in your phone and then bringing up the Photos app.
Everything you just guessed is what it says right here.
I'm amazing.
Aren't you? You should lead a computer company.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's what I've never done, Scott, but obviously it can be.
My second calling would be leading a computer club.
Well, let's ask your daughters if you're amazing.
Let's ask them if they're paying attention.
Nope.
They're out of here. They should.
They're zoned.
You know, that's great. So it's totally doable. I don't have the specific instructions on how to do it, but I will play with it myself this week. And if you haven't figured it out by next week, I'll have some specific instructions.
Good. Thank you.
Let me.
You know what that costs?
$39?
$35.
$35.
See, I'm awesome. Actually, everyone should shed a little tear that these are the only things that I keep in my brain. I'm not sure that one's name.
She's not happy with you.
Look on her cup.
That's right. I gave them cups so that we can keep track of them.
No, they're going to mess you up then.
Yeah, they're
I'm trying to get them to pay attention to me right now. What? Yeah, what? See? What? There we go.
They're
making believe
they're not listening. Bob.
Emmy, are you here too? Take off your headset so you can hear our discussion. You might have commentary that you'd like to add.
Kids know more about this stuff than we do.
I was just telling them about how involved in your life I am and what a great dad I am.
Don't listen to him.
So what electronic toys did the girls get?
I mean, I would have made a great decision.
Yeah, you think? So take off your headsets. You just had a question.
Me?
Yes,
a question.
You did.
When?
From 2 years.
Just now. Really? Take off your headsets so you can hear.
Huh?
Take off your headsets.
I can't.
The headsets right here. Can you take those off?
What are you saying?
Can you take them off, please? Thank you. Okay. So the question
was,
go ahead.
What electronic toys did you get?
Who wants to go first?
Okay.
Go ahead, Emmy.
I got a Raspberry Pi 4 computer.
Ooh.
All right.
A what?
A what?
A Raspberry Pi.
I've never heard of that.
It's
almost like an Arduino, but
yeah,
it's better.
You're still talking foreign. It's a tiny computer.
Repeat that so that we can understand.
So, yeah. Emmy, how would you describe that to normal people? Why don't you describe how it came?
The new computer thing.
How did it come?
What do you mean?
What was in the box?
Oh.
Santa brought it.
We're beyond that.
Hey, see, that was not a Santa present.
It came with a cable to hook it up to a monitor. Basically, it's a way to program your own computer. Basically,
it is a computer.
It is a computer. Yes, and you program it, and it's cool. You can make things out of it.
Are you into coding?
I will bring it up.
What languages?
I'm not 100% sure.
What is it that you have been coding, though? What is it you've coded in Scratch, and you coded for your Arduino. What's that language called?
I forgot. I need to look at my notes. You guys say nerd.
Is it 4GL, or we may move past that?
This is way beyond us.
I write stuff, it makes it go.
So this is what she got right here. Or something similar.
Wow.
It's the coolest thing.
But she hasn't put it to use yet. She's been too involved in her TV show.
So what does it do?
So this is about the size of a cell phone, a little smaller. It has network connections, it has USB connections, it has HDMI connections, and people use these as project computers to build things like their own router or their own media center. A lot of these are being used for Kodi boxes. As people want to build their own Kodi box, they would use something like this.
So now if we need help, we call her.
Well, we'll see.
I don't know anything about those things. I've never removed one code from my computer.
Bibiana has gotten a reputation for hacking Wi-Fi at her school.
Oh, my.
Oh, you're such a bad little girl.
That was $1,800?
That price was in pesos.
In pesos. Okay,
yeah.
So it wasn't anything?
Well, I'd like to
no,
it was
about $100 for the whole kit.
Okay, so yeah. What did your other daughter get?
Well, she's about to tell us.
Go ahead, Bibi.
How did you hack?
You were just about to tell us what you got for Christmas.
Oh. I was?
Yes.
No.
You didn't know that.
Why?
You're also going to tell us about your hacking Wi-Fi experience.
Yeah, I want to hear that one.
I'm going to
stick with that.
That one.
Go ahead. Tell your Wi-Fi experience.
I was in a team project, and I wasn't paying any attention, but there's no Wi-Fi in class. And this girl, she's on her computer and she can't get Wi-Fi. So she, so everyone looks at me and they're like, "Hacker, get us some Wi-Fi."
So your school went through a period of time that there was a fire. It brought down the Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi wasn't returned for how long?
A week.
About a week. Ooh. All these students, Emily, hold up your computer. This is a Chromebook that Emily's got with her right now. All the students in her school are required to have one of these style computers. It's one of those, you got to be online to take advantage of it. It's,
so Nick can go to her school because he's got a Chromebook.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, look at this.
In fact, I forgot, Nick is very familiar with what a Chromebook is because you're running the Chrome operating system. In your endeavors, do you feel like you're lacking anything by using that computer versus a Windows computer?
Well, it's kind of like a handicapped computer in a way. I mean, it's a,
he doesn't like the keyboard.
Everything is on the cloud, so you can't really save anything. There's no hard drive. But for $250, it's a hell of a computer.
Yeah, and actually I bought a much better one for my kids. The one that they got was about $425.
I was looking at them yesterday, and when I bought this several years ago, it was $250, and they're all the way up to $800 or $900.
Well, they've got some really impressive computers now that are Chromebooks, and Google's using it as a showpiece of what the Chrome operating system could be. So Google's got a $1,200 Chromebook.
That's right. There were $1,200.
Yeah. And what they're showcasing is, look how Chrome works with a touchscreen. Look how well it works with a touchpad. Look at how you can do video editing in the cloud. But you've got to have that hardware to really be impressed with it. The amount of money I paid for their Chromebooks would have bought a low-end Windows computer, but it bought a middle-end Chromebook.
Okay, there's Android. Sure. There's.
Well, one of the nice things that's happened in the last year or so with the Chrome OS, maybe the last 2 years, is they've integrated the Android operating system into it. And so one of the things that makes the Chromebook more appealing now is you can go to an app store and find tens of thousands of applications, whereas the Chrome OS operating system didn't really have any apps. It was kind of like a computer for your Google account. And now, because they've integrated the Android app store, you can find just about anything you could find on your phone, you can find it for your Chromebook.
So it has nothing to do with iPad? I mean, with Apple?
No, not really.
Nick did try to save a file with password protected, and I wouldn't let him do that.
Save a file that was password
protected. In other words, you can't open the file unless you
did it ring?
Password.
No, I was going to send a message.
Yeah, it didn't like that.
So did you download a file, and then you tried to open it?
I think it was on that separate drive.
Oh, it was on a USB flash drive?
Drive?
So that's interesting, because that would have been a password that was, I believe it would be a password. Like, the drive wasn't password protected.
No,
the file was.
File.
So that would be like an Excel document or a Word document. And I could see you could run into some problems with that, since that's a proprietary password system.
But you can't use Excel. You have to use Sheets.
That's right.
So you wouldn't want to use it for banking.
Well, that's not necessarily the case, but what you're describing would be a callback to using Windows computers and Microsoft software. It's not 100% compatible with Office software, and the password would be one of those.
But I wonder if you saved it as a sheet, if you could password protect it. I didn't play with that.
Well, you know what else would be interesting to see as we go forward? I recently had a reason to explore all these online solutions for Windows computers. And you can rent a Windows computer for about $9 a month, right, out there in the cloud. And you can set it up so that you can remote into it from your Chromebook, and you've got a Windows computer there in the cloud, and you can deal with stuff like this. Part of part of that price, and Amazon offers it, Microsoft offers it, and there's a bunch of other third parties out there that are trying to do this as a business. But things like Office and Windows, those licensing are all incorporated into that price. So you pay a subscription fee, and you get access to whatever those features are that you're purchasing for. So maybe the $9 a month includes a copy of Office. It definitely covers the Windows license, but maybe even Photoshop. That's a bad example. There's probably some better examples I can't think of at the moment, but
that
some.
One's real expensive.
Yeah, well, Photoshop's a bad example because it's already in the cloud. If you're a Photoshop user, you could use a Chromebook to do your stuff because they're already cloud based. So you wouldn't need a Windows but for all those old Windows things that you're still trying to do, like maybe it'd be worth paying $10 to have access to a computer that you could put the password into to get to save a copy of that file that would be compatible with the Chromebook, and then you're done with that Windows computer. I mean, we may end up seeing this whole market of I need a Windows computer for 30 seconds. Right? How much would you pay to have access to a Windows computer for the next month? Because I just need to do two Windows things. I really see that market developing, especially over the next year or two. Yeah, Irving.
Does that embody the speed of the current technology?
Well, the beauty of Windows as a service, one of these computers as a service, is that they can update on the fly. So say there's something new you need to do that requires more memory or more speed. Well, they could either have integrated that immediately, because these Windows computers get churned up. They're software computers. So the moment you need to sign into one, it is being created. And how it's being created is based on what service price you're paying. So the amount of memory that it has, the amount of storage you have access to, the amount of speed you have on the internet is all based on that monthly price that you would pay.
Well, it sounds like if they improve high-priced software like Word and things like that, it might be a super bargain.
Yeah.
It will be to begin with.
Yeah, well, it'll be... It'll be a good alternative to you going out and pricing a Windows computer. And what I think this does is knowing that service is out there means that you can comfortably shop in other ecosystems at different price points, knowing that if you got into a crunch and there was something you had to do in Windows, well, you know that there's a service out there you could buy Windows time on. Well, because competitively, you may be able to get that software at a better price because you've already got the Windows Foundation. Because they have to take the Windows license into consideration and the licensing of whatever software they're offering you, then they're going to be putting together a package that would be reasonable to somebody without a Windows computer, but may not be justified. But I'll tell you one thing, like it would make sense, Irving. I run a number of old computers in my world. I run computers that are easily 9 years old in some areas of my life.
Yeah, so do we.
Yeah.
9 years old.
So
my Windows 7 is older than that.
Yes, definitely. But you could be running Windows 7. You could have upgraded that computer over time. That's not really my point. My point is, instead of having to upgrade, having to go out and buy this new computer, especially if all of a sudden, say you're doing something, genealogy or something of that nature, editing videos, something of that nature, where the computer in front of you is just not able to handle it, then this is an option. You could just go out and pay a monthly fee to have access to a computer that can totally handle those system requirements.
But you would need to have a physical computer in your hand to access...
Well, you would need to have a device It could be a computer, it could be a laptop, could be a tablet, could be a phone. It would really depend on what you felt like your needs were. If that's where this all breaks down, because who would use a Windows computer without a keyboard, without a mouse, without a full size screen? There's no reason for it. I mean, there might be a reason to tunnel into an Android device with a screen this small. You might in the future have a reason to. I mean, I can think of reasons like I want to test out software without compromising my phone. I'd like to have access to some app without having to worry about them hacking my phone while I'm using that app. I see that market building as well. So you could tunnel into another Android device, have it display perfectly on your phone, use it exactly the same way you use your phone. I could see that on a Macintosh or an iPhone as well. I could see a service being offered where you don't have to worry about hackers. You've got one app. It takes you to all the other apps that you want to use. Those are all happening in the cloud and do not have to touch your phone. So you don't have to worry about your phone getting compromised. But this idea really breaks down when you think about it being Windows. Well, you really do need a keyboard. You need a large screen. Now, here's an interesting thing. We just showed you a $100 computer. Maybe you put together a computer, or somebody's put together a $100 computer for you. You can plug into your big screen, your flat screen TV in the living room. So then for those few moments where you need a Windows computer, well, that could tunnel you into a Windows computer. Yeah, Irving.
Well, I see the potential is if they can discount available software with their buying power, like at one time they were then a company came along and gave me the same ad for a fraction of the cost. So they undercut because they were buying the time from the New York Times. So if they can do that with software and bring a suite of high-end software, I think it would be terrific.
Well, and Irving, I don't want it to be misconstrued as an advertising model, because it definitely is not an advertising model. But what you're saying about their purchasing power in bulk, bringing the prices down, is absolutely true. And in another way that they're able to bring the price down is they don't have to buy so many copies of a license. They can buy, say, a license for 1,000 people, and then they're not going to have 1,000. Well, in this example, there wouldn't be 1,000 people all taking advantage of it at the same time. They could pass that license around to who needs it at that moment.
It's like the telephone company. If everybody picked up their phone at the same time, it wouldn't work, right?
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
How do you manage space on your all your devices? Mine keeps saying, go in and manage your space.
I'm such a horrible example. People ask me this all the time. I'm a horrible example of managing space, because the way I deal with it is I just buy more space.
I've done that. Get rid of apps?
Yeah, I mean, you get rid of apps. You offload data that you don't need. Is this an iDevice you're talking about that's run out of space? So I want
to make one.
Yeah, music, taking off music, taking off videos. Videos take the most space out of everything. And so it's interesting. You'd have 1,000 photos, and it won't take up as much space as one video. So yeah, that would be one of the first things I would do, is just go through my sort by videos and decide what matters to you to have on the device. Make sure those videos are offloaded somewhere so you don't lose them. But yeah, videos take up. Again, you could have 1,000 photos and they wouldn't take up as much space as one video, depending on the. Especially this day and age, if you have a relatively new smartphone, there's a good chance it's recording at such a high resolution that 10 minutes is more than 1,000 pictures.
Mm. Yeah, what does it mean when on an iPhone when it says it's recording live? Because it seems like you can almost watch it as a video even though you're just taking a photo. I didn't get that.
Well, you know, the iPhones have this ability to do these pictures, these animated pictures. And so what it's doing is it's capturing all frames. even before you've hit the trigger, before you've hit the snap button, it's capturing before and it's capturing after, and it's focused in on when you hit that button. But then you can nudge it either direction. And so each photo actually takes more space than your traditional photo, because it's actually a clip of video. It's a clip of frames. And when you deal with it as a photo, it's dealing with that section that you indicated was a photo.
We took Christmas photos, and they were all 1 minute or 1 second videos.
Yeah.
And they all had this little movement.
When you look at them, you can see it move.
What do you mean by resolution?
Kind of weird. I don't know how we did it.
Is that the number of pixels?
Do you have live?
Yes. Resolution is referring to the amount of data in a space.
Yeah.
So pixels per inch is what you define resolution in. A pixel is the smallest point of light or of color. Mm-hmm. And the more pixels you can fit into an inch, the higher your resolution is.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm dealing with that with blowing up pictures, you know, to the size.
Yeah.
And cameras. Cameras are only so good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what we're doing right now is amazing. Like, the new iPhones rely heavily on computational photography, where it takes in a picture that may not be a great picture, but because it knows so much about its camera and it knows so much about the environment and it has so much processing power, that it can go, oh, it's obviously a cloudy day. Let's compensate for a cloudy day. Oh, this person was jiggling the camera when they took it. Let's compensate for the jiggle. Mm-hmm. And so in the end, you get this immaculate picture from this crummy shot, mm-hmm. because there's so much artificial intelligence going into these devices now that it can make all those determinations artificially. It's
scary when the machines are smarter than us.
Oh, and they've been smarter than us for a while now. It's very, very scary when you see how dumb decisions they make with how much intelligence they have.
Well, there's human examples of that too.
It's been a weird week, and it just started. There's absolutely examples of that. But, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. I remember seeing on the Android phone, it wasn't an app, it was built in to amplify the sound for hearing impaired. And now I can't find it. No, it was on the settings. Yeah, and it's not under sound. And I searched.
Under accessibility, I think I would look.
I didn't find it there either.
Yeah. I wonder if we can do a quick Google search and find it.
I know where you can find it.
Yeah?
Because I've been dealing with ALOHA, Adult Hearing Loss in Tucson, and it's the best organization worldwide. It's a volunteer organization, and they have that information.
ALOHA?
ALOHA.
ALOHA.
Adult Hearing, blah, 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 blah. Yes.
Adult Hearing Association.
I really think they should use an acronym. What? I don't know what it stands for, but I think that'd be a great name of an adult hearing organization.
Right.
What or huh? Yeah.
That's right.
Well, they'll have a Canadian one.
Adult Loss of Hearing Association.
That's one of them.
Hearingloss.org is where I've come up.
Okay. Well, and what your question was specifically is the adjustments for like a Bluetooth...
To put it up to your phone.
It just amplifies the phone.
You go to any audiologist and they can pair your phone and your hearing aid. You know that.
I do know
only
that.
On the new
phone. Only if you have Bluetooth.
Only on the new
you have that Bluetooth.
With Bluetooth, right.
Except if you have reaction.
iPhone 4.
Yes.
Hearing impaired. Amplifying iPhone for hearing impaired. Plug your headphone or speakers. You know, I am not familiar with a specific. There is hearing accessibility guide here from iPhone.
Okay, that's live. That's live on.
But this is all related to having the hearing aids that are Bluetooth. You know, this whole Bluetooth hearing aid thing is just about to explode in the consumer market. Right. CES is going on right now, and I would be really interested to pay attention to what's going to happen in this space, because the prediction is that you will be able to, the same way you could go into an OXXO and buy a $5 pair of headsets, you're going to be able to go into like a Walmart, and they will have a series of Bluetooth headphones that double as hearing aids. Mm-hmm. And so you won't be looking for hearing aids any longer. You'll be looking for very comfortable headphone audio phones that work as hearing aids.
But
you've got one too.
Yeah.
But
it plays into my hearing aids.
But women do not want to sit in church or in a meeting room with headphones on.
Well, what I'm saying is the headphones that are about to come out will be in your ear headphones that will be discreet like the hearing aids are. It's you look at these audio buds that Apple is offering and Google is offering, Samsung is offering, and they're all talking about how they don't have to comply with being a health device any longer and call themselves a hearing aid. They're not going to have to get signed off on by pharmaceutical companies and doctors.
So I have a question, and maybe I'm nuts. It worries me, where as a hearing aid wearer, that I have all this electronic stuff going through my head because it's messaging.
You're talking to
me. And I have friends who are dying of brain cancer and all this stuff. Am I neurotic, or is there a potential connection? Like, it can't be good for your head to have all this Bluetooth stuff.
You need a clear passage from this side to this side.
I can't answer the neurotic part. Yeah, you got me on neurotic. I don't know if I have the experience with you to make that determination.
I've been wearing it for years. Look at Bob. He's been wearing them for years.
There you go.
I have no problem. My dog, the birds in the air, they have no problems. I have no problems.
The best answer I can give to this question is that these devices operate on a frequency range that has never proven to be a health concern.
Well, we've only just started using this technology. So.
But we've had microwave technology for almost 100 years.
Okay.
I mean, it's
so this is kind of like the same.
Yeah. You're right. We don't wear them. And absolutely, there. I mean, we should be studying. And we are, but every time we study it, it shows that it's less concern. We have not seen studies grow in concern. We've seen them dissipate in concern. And what I was going to say about the frequency ranges that we're talking about, they call it non-ionizing radiation. And what that means is that these, if you amplify these, it's still, no matter, at the most, at the strongest potential, we are not going to trigger a chain reaction. You're not going to create material that has free electrons that's where cancers come from. Right. It comes from these cells just losing electrons. The non-ionizing radiation's big threat is in heat. As you crank these up, what they do is they generate heat. They cause molecules to vibrate, and that causes heat, and that's why eggs explode in the microwave. They don't explode because they're radioactive. They explode because whenever you heat something like an egg consistently across its surface area, it will pop.
Unless you take a toothpick.
Right, unless you...
Exactly.
Right. Unless you've allowed it to dissipate that heat in some way.
Just don't do that to your ears, though.
Even after you've exploded the egg, you open up your microwave, and that egg is not radioactive. It's not causing you damage as it gets close to your skin. It's not burning you. Well, I mean, it could It depends on how long you microwaved it. But
we're not frying our brains with this stuff.
We have not had any studies that make us believe that's the case.
I'll take your word at that.
Yeah, there's a lot of inconclusive stuff. There's a lot of illegitimate studies that are out there. I mean, there's a lot of people claiming that this, and so it's hard to disregard that stuff. I personally know all this, and at the same time, I get nervous about the 5G stuff, simply because of how close it's going to have to be. I heard a conservative number saying that for everything that we did 4G with, we're going to need four times the amount of equipment. From what I understand, that's a minimal for 5G. I mean, I think we're going to end up with 10 times the amount of equipment surrounding us. We're going to be putting all these
towers, basically.
Yeah. And so I'm not quick to disregard the health concerns. I think we should always be studying this stuff.
Well, Wi-Fi is all around us.
Wi-Fi is all around us. Yeah. That's
radio
right.
Waves, television waves.
Television's waves have been around us for...
Just the law of the inverse square. And these are really close. They're in your ears, you know.
Deck 6 phone?
The Deck 6.
Like a major science.
Wi-Fi signal that disturbs your sleep habits and also... Some other things.
Well, I was reading about that. Yeah.
And I had a Deck 6 that was next to my bed and was sleeping awful. And I was going, got a sleep machine, you know, to tell me how my sleep was going. And I finally started looking it up. I took the Deck 6 out of the bedroom. Like a baby. The only difference.
What's a Deck 6?
But it interrupts you. It doesn't let you get to a full sleep mode. Right. It also
it's a style
causes
of phone.
Other damages, too. And I have a little radiation detector for Wi-Fi. That one of the other things I bought when I read it, because I didn't believe it. Make sure your router isn't next to your bed.
For sleeping? That's what you're saying, for sleeping?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because it disturbs you. I mean, although you can't get away from it because it's everywhere, but what you don't want to do is sleep next to it.
Right. Jim, you bring up a really good point. As we're going into these, I mean, I just saw CES has announced it was AMD showing off products with their new chips. And on a side note, if you're not paying attention to CES, you don't have to. There's a lot of garbage. But AMD has just hit the market hard with a whole new chip line. If you've ever gone and tried to make the decision of whether AMD or Intel is better, right now AMD is better when it comes to desktops, and they're claiming their laptops. I wait to see because they're stuck, but they've got more cores, these are insane products, and Intel has been stagnant. That's a side note. So just don't be scared of AMD if you're looking at purchasing products coming forward, because they're back on track and they're excelling the competition right now. They're exceeding the competition.
This is the name of the company?
AMD. It used to be AMD versus AMD. Intel for everything, and now we're going back to that. Jim, I like your point. There was just, I saw a 5G router that was announced, and the idea of this is it would get its internet from 5G and it would create a Wi-Fi hotspot. That is a lot of radio wave activity to happen in one package. And if you set it next to your bed, I suspect you would be suffering from sleep problems. This is probably the most disturbing problems that we know right now. It is, I mean, just like you get too hot at night. Right? It will affect your sleep. I wonder if going forward, the kinds of studies, the kind of results we're going to start seeing is depression, sleep deprivation, these kinds of issues from these kinds of products, because they're not causing severe health problems outside of health disruption. Maybe brain cancer is because you're having trouble sleeping, or who knows, with all these Wi-Fi devices around you, maybe you're not getting a break from them. Maybe that's what's happening, is your body is fighting that stuff.
What do we have to expect with with 5G? Is it a tower every half mile?
No. Right now it's so frustratingly confusing because there is a 5G standard for much faster internet, much faster data rates that could be a tower or four towers for every one tower there is now.
How often? How far apart?
Well, I couldn't give you a specific answer on that. But if you think about when you look out on the horizon and you see a tower out there providing you with cell service, just imagine three more.
How interactive?
Won't be as interactive as they're promising. It will be faster. It'll be like three times faster than what we've got now. But what they're promising is 10 to 100 times faster. And that can only happen using the millimeter waveforms. And those towers, I think, are going to be on the corners of buildings.
So that tells me that you're going to have some device every half mile or even closer.
Yes, yes.
Even closer, all around the world.
That's right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's the crazy.
Well, and then you've got Elon Musk launching internet satellites. We're going to have low-hanging orbital internet access with low latency because they're low in the stratosphere. And we're going to have a whole line of products that will be able to take advantage of that. It'll start out as like your tower. You have an antenna outside your house, and it'll plug into your Wi-Fi router. And instead of coming from Juan at X-Pro, it'll come from Elon Musk's internet satellite system. But you can bet that very quickly, as that's adopted as a standard, we're going to have phones that will run on the same system.
Did you see the launch last night? Aluminum
foil, huh? No, I didn't. There was a launch last night?
Launch last night, another 60, and that makes the largest satellite operator in the world, more than governments.
Because he just launched 60 little satellites? 60 more. Who? Elon Musk.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Tesla guy.
The Tesla guy.
Not so much for trucks.
Not so much for trucks? I don't know. If you're a video game enthusiast.
Testing the truck. You didn't see that?
The truck? The Cybertruck?
Yeah, where they had him test it with a ball of windows and it shattered.
That was awesome. What was awesome is he did that at the beginning of the presentation. Have you guys paid attention to the Cybertruck? Yeah, he did that at the beginning of the presentation, so the whole rest of the presentation he had a broken truck on stage.
We had an interesting experience when he went back to the U.S. The broadband tower that we have our internet with, it was down, and it turns out that somebody bought the tower that dish was on that was broadcasting. And they got into a lawsuit, and that particular provider is gone. So when I get back home, I'm going to have to find a new one.
Oh, wow. You know, at the same time, there's an opportunity there. If somebody's got property around where that tower is, right, you could create some competition immediately.
Yeah. So how come you're not at CES? I would love to go there.
Yeah. No, I don't make those kinds of journeys. And it's been like the best digital Wi-Fi toothbrush for a while now. It's what they've spent a lot of time on is stuff like that. It's huh? Yeah. You didn't see that? The latest in what's the Orbi? Oral B.
And it takes pictures and sends them to your dentist, right?
It will. It lights up. I mean, it is Wi-Fi enabled, but it does light up to tell you if you got too much pressure on your teeth. It's got like a red light if you're doing it wrong, a green light if you're doing it right. Gives you brushing instructions.
Gives you weekly printout.
Right.
You've got a piece of chicken stuck in your back mouth.
That's right. Here's a picture of everything in your mouth.
Spinach.
Yeah. Spinach on your teeth.
You know, Jim said something that I thought was an interesting topic that I should have put it in my lineup of topics, and I bet we would see more of these at CES. Just recently, there was a post about an Airbnb that had a hidden webcam. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see that? Where it looked like an alarm clock. Right? And the people that were staying at the Airbnb were able to identify it as a webcam.
How did they know?
Well, yeah, I suspect from the way that the post was written, I got the impression they were people like myself. I mean, like sophisticated enough to have some ways of checking in. They use Airbnb often enough that it's become part of their routine.
They have a gizmo.
Well, like Jim was just talking about how he's got a Wi-Fi radiation monitor. So you could take a device like that around your room and look for things that are broadcasting Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Some of the suggestions in the post, because that was one of the questions when people were posting about this, they didn't go into detail of how it was found, but people made some speculations. And another one that's good to remember is that most of the webcams that exist out there, you could pick up easily just with a cell phone. A cell phone is susceptible to infrared light, and if a webcam is active, then you can see the lens of that camera on your camera, emanating light. I'm actually, as we're talking, I'm realizing I've got a camera across the way there. I wonder how effective this is. I'll bring up the camera for some reason that's taking forever to start on my phone. I've obviously got something going on with my cell phone at the moment. That's disappointing. Everything's frozen up. One bad app on your cell phone can cause it to have a freezing experience. I have over 100 apps on my cell phone. There we go. Okay. And let's see how realistic it is. If I can, I can't make it out from here. If I get oh, I've got a camera right in front of me. Oh, I can see nothing. So this is definitely not a fix or not a. Yeah, I see a camera too. I don't. Oh, there it is. I can see the lens, but that is no way to search your room for a. I think this is a real problem. I think that, especially if you find a camera in your Airbnb, definitely Airbnb says to report it. They'll call the police. They'll set you up with a new hotel room, all free of charge. But apparently this has been an issue. People have been finding spy cameras in these rooms.
Well, look at the, what is it, Ring?
The Ring doorbell stuff.
Which got the little girl's room.
Yeah.
Oh.
And was broadcasting it.
I'm telling you, a cave is looking better.
I'm with you,
it,
Ray.
It would shield you from all that electromagnetic radiation.
When we lived in Flagstaff, we were maybe a quarter of a mile from high tension wires. And people around there were reporting higher incidences of types of cancer, of emotional disturbance, mm-hmm. mental illness, mm-hmm. and so on. And they finally regulated it that new homes could not be built or purchased around those lines. Now, if they're that effective, what's to say that something's directly connected to your head is not having an influence?
Yeah, I mean, I see the point. In fact, one of the things I've always found fascinating is if you watch grazing animals, uh-huh. they will stay away from high yes. tension lines. Mm-hmm. They just have this natural, they don't see that as being a safe place to be eating. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying. The only way I can wrap my head around it is high tension wires are cranked really high up. I mean, there is lots of current running through those wires. And so the electromagnetic radiation that they're putting off, and first of all, it's falling off of these lines. They would rather have that radiation in the lines. It's
some
because
people pick up their electric by just running under those.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for you to contribute.
Has anyone seen the 4 movie series on Tesla? And the current one is where these guys in the last year have been running tests on distribution of electricity wireless, which is what he was trying to do many
the original years ago. Tesla was doing that. Like the original Tesla.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And part of the series was also the hotel he stayed in and lived in. Probably was his lab meant to be the huge antenna. If you look at the shape of the building and all the stuff.
I watched that series.
But think about the radiation, because they proved it works in miniature with like a little boat on the lake where they could nothing but wireless electricity driving this electric motor put in the lake.
I used to love the stories about Tesla when reporters would come and report with him. They would tell stories about how they would enter this lab. There would be no source of light, but it would just light up. I mean, he was like a magician with no show. He just did things that he just took as commonplace.
I think the series was on Pluto, which is free.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I was using Streamio to watch it, and I kept having trouble finding sources for the last episode. And it would make sense that it was out there somewhere for free, so people that are trying to get it in some, I don't know, illegitimate way. Not necessary. People aren't working that hard to get it if it's available for free. I didn't even look for it in a free service.
Arguments and how Edison kind of stole the stuff.
I enjoyed the series. It is more conspiracy theory than it is science.
Right.
But that was more the people doing the series, not the stories they were telling. I mean, it was more ghost hunters than it was discovery. But it was still very interesting. And yeah, absolutely, it looked like that hotel had been built in a way that it could have been fashioned like one of his towers for transmitting electricity.
Where was the hotel?
In New York.
Do you know the name of it?
I can't remember, but I bet we could Google it in a second. Let's see, New York Tesla Hotel.
While you're doing that, where do you find these Wi-Fi detectors?
Amazon. New York.
And how much are they?
Tesla.
I don't know. They're all different prices. They go from $10 up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a little sideline for you. You could go around to people's homes with yours and
sweep them.
Yeah, I went around to all the rooms, the living room and stuff.
The New Yorker.
It didn't really bother me, so I'm not going to remove my router out of the living room or anything else. But I don't spend that many hours there. But when I got into the bedroom, right, the bed went nuts. I had the Deck 6 phone sitting there.
Oh, yeah, the phone. Caught me off guard for a moment there. Like, what's going on in Jim's bed?
What's going on
in here? Is it a box spring?
Yeah. So how big is that a Casper mattress? Like
So how big are they?
Bluetooth mattress.
Small.
Yeah.
Like a remote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like an old remote. Old style.
Well, 20 years ago, I used to work in a National Historic Site, and a provincial cabinet used to meet there once a year because it was the birthplace of the government cabinet. And so the RCMP would show up at, before the show was on, and they would walk around and do a sweep thing, and they had a gizmo that went over their shoulder and so on, and they had this wand, and they went all over the place to see if it was bugged.
I'm wondering if those kinds of devices are the next thing for travelers.
As a frequent traveler, and most of the time alone, I do think about stuff like that. We went through a period where they said they were warning women about bathroom mirrors and mirrors,
yes,
and
I remember them, that.
And being, yeah, that kind of nonsense. And I thought, oh God, one more thing,
right?
That cave.
Cave.
But you think about how easy, I mean, webcams are this big now.
I know.
Imagine like Norman Bates Motel. Like, why wouldn't there be a camera in every room? Why wouldn't there be a camera behind every mirror? It's because it's cheap and easy to do, and some psycho is thinking that that's an interesting thing to do.
Nice. And do you have a security lock on the knob? They advertise that for a while.
The name of the hotel is the New Yorker.
Oh,
No, yeah, it has a very interesting architectural design.
Tell us, right?
No. We're curious.
Salad days, okay?
Say that again.
Never.
I believe so. We're talking about where Tesla used to live.
Really? In the New Yorker.
In the New York, it's electric.
Recording.
I'll be here all afternoon.
I have a Looney hotel at one point.
Now it's a Wyndham.
Is it?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what it's.
Oh.
Hello.
This wealth of knowledge.
You're on.
Boy, we have digressed so far away from what we were talking about. I don't even have a topic anymore. What?
So what do you have on your list?
Okay, I found this fairly interesting article that at first you're not going to get why I find this interesting, I'm sure. But this is about the GoPro drone. And apparently, I didn't pay any attention to this. GoPro had a drone called the Karma. It was trying to get into drones. It thought that was a moneymaker. It quickly determined that it couldn't make money selling drones, and it discontinued the product and moved on. People on January 1st got up, started using their old drones, and found that they would not fly. It turns out, and I never knew this before, but it turns out that the problem was the drone or the drone software. GoPro hasn't been very vague about what exactly the problem is. Was not able to get access to the world magnetic model. And if you're in aviation, you probably know what this is. I'd never heard of this before this article. And that's what I found this article was so interesting, is I really saw this as there are three things that I found very interesting about this story. One is this drone stopped working. Just, it's like an RC helicopter, right? I mean, it's a drone. And on January 1st, people could not use their product any longer. So I found that very interesting, because that's really the world we're living in. The same reason you can't use your webcam from 10 years ago on your laptop, this drone was not going to work because it's out of date, right? Like, could you imagine going out to your car and you want to start it? It's January 1st, and it's not going to work. And the manufacturer doesn't build this car any longer.
Well, that's part of that technology. The drones are all computerized.
Yes.
My son had a friend came over a couple years ago and was going to fly his drone for us, and he clipped his iPhone on it, and it wouldn't boot up. Well, it turned out, later on, he found the problem was he hadn't downloaded the latest FAA regulations on his phone, because they've got no-fly zones and all this stuff programmed into their software.
So this is exactly the same kind of this world magnetic model that I never knew existed before is a map of magnetic fields throughout the planet. And apparently NOAA updates this map with whatever scientists work in electromagnetic. About every 5 years they release a new map. And this map is used by all of our navigation software, because it screws up where magnetic north is. I was describing it to my kids this morning, where like a hand compass, it's not going to make that big of a difference going through, but a plane for altitudes, and it's going to have a great effect on it. But these magnetic fields, they don't change often enough that it has to be in real time. So they release this model every 5 years, and then this model is applied to these technologies. So first in this story, I found very interesting that the product was going to stop working. This has never happened to an RC helicopter enthusiast. They can fly their planes. They can fly their helicopters. It does not matter if something has changed in the world. These devices still, your lawnmower still works, right? It doesn't matter if it's got the latest software. But apparently this drone has something in its software saying this model's updated every so often. We've exceeded that time period. Don't fly the plane. Don't, just like your son's experience. Got to have the latest. So that was one aspect of the story I found very interesting. The other aspect of the story that is interesting is GoPro fixed the problem. This camera, this drone is now 2 years out of date since they discontinued it. And because they have an enthusiastic following of people that are still using this product, they took responsibility for it and they've pushed out a fix for it. It has to be downloaded off the internet, put into your drone, but after that the drone will fly again. Who knows what that means 5 years from now? Mm-hmm. Right? 5 years from now it might have the exact same problem for the exact same reason. Well, now this product is 7 years out of date. There's no reason to expect this company to still be responsible for this product, even though I look at the product the same way I look at an RC helicopter, an RC plane. It's a device that should continue to do what it was bought to do. I would not expect it to have an end-of-life cycle, especially one that mimics like how often you replace a computer.
Built-in obsolescence.
Yeah, that's what's bothering me about this. And so this is highlighting that built-in obsolescence that we're having to get used to.
I think I heard this correctly. There were two countries, you mentioned Iran, I think was one of them, where they shut down their internet systems. And you know how we have earthquake preparedness? It's almost like a lack of Wi-Fi preparedness training. Like, how do you cope if suddenly you have no internet service? So, you know, maybe that's the way of the future, too, because how do you cope when suddenly none of this technology is available to you anymore?
You can't even go to the bank and get money.
Yeah, you can't get your money, you can't phone for help, nothing works. So,
back to the cave.
Yeah.
You gotta have snacks.
Snacks that can endure for a while.
Well,
ramen and Twinkies. That's
Carolyn.
Just around the corner is a car. That can be shut down.
You can ask Scott's girl what happens when they have internet.
There's probably a half a dozen out here in front right now.
Right. Okay. And they can be shut down remotely. It's a control issue. And we're going to be controlled by somebody. And who knows whether it'll be good or bad.
I wonder if the car will start.
No. You just don't know anything.
You don't know.
iPhone 5.
Yes.
Can I still get a chip port down here for Mexican telephone?
Yeah, you can't. It's a 5, not a 5S.
It's a 5C.
Oh, even better. Yeah, I think you can still get the latest operating system on it.
Really?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I think.
I have upgraded. I now have an 11 too, also, but I don't have service on
it. Well, you can definitely still get a chip for it.
I can.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and it should work. The 5C should support the modems, the towers that are around here, the radios that we use. So it should work just fine.
They're talking about the airplanes and what they depend upon for the magnetic.
I don't think you're going back.
Iraq is claiming one of the things they can do is hack into
Cyber wars.
Well, that's the mainstream media is making us concerned that that will be a retaliation technique. And I agree. I think that's totally something that they would do because they don't want to bring bombs, but they want to bring revenge.
Right.
It's definitely something to be concerned about.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome, Robert.
What's
see you next week.
New Orleans lost their internet over.
Oh, you know what? I haven't checked it out. I wonder if New Orleans has got their shit back together.
So what else do you have?
New Orleans.
Paper trail. New Orleans paper trail.
Municipality network.
Pay us or
Yeah, that's what
networked.
I don't come up with words as easily as I used to.
Let's see if we can. Cyber attack, January 2nd, New Orleans police court system, 3 weeks after City Hall computers systems were crippled. See the article. You're only allowed three.
You're at the New York one.
You haven't subscribed.
They do that to me all the time.
By Monday, they should have their computers back. So they told them to expect till the first of the year, and now they're saying for the first week of the first of the year.
So what else do you have on your list?
I'll put a link to that GoPro article. I thought that was really, really fascinating. I knew nothing about the world magnetic model and all that stuff you can find from that. I mean, I went down a deep rabbit hole and just found out all this information about how this model works and why it's used. And so they've got all these links to that kind of stuff in this article, so I'll put that on the...
You heard about all the iron that's as it solidifies at a certain time, it's aligned, because it's liquid, it can the molecules can line up. So it lines up with the existing model.
Right.
Okay, but 10,000 or 100,000 years later, it's changed. So
it's moved around.
So you can see the different time when the rocks were formed.
That's awesome. I bet that has to do with why we have a model.
That's how they discovered that there was
a model.
Yeah, because they would interfere with the natural magnetic north because of their...
And it's just moved, too. It's moved like 1.9 degrees or something to the...
Magnetic north moves
the magnetic north.
Magnetic north.
It's... You know, it's a really good example of how we base something on something that we've considered to be a constant, and it's only taken...
Like it's a nanosecond in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
Have you ever played with gyroscopes and how they spin like a top and so on?
Oh, yeah.
How hard it is to flip them over. So it's, the Earth is doing that same thing. The interior of it is turning. And it's just like a generator, so it makes the magnetic... The magnetic field, and there's some evidence that some people feel that when you've been hit by asteroids or things like that, it sent the crust spinning differently, and that's what they figure. So it could happen that the whole thing just reverses or something like that in this process. So we would be quite messed up with lots of
About every 5 years, all the boats out here are recalibrated.
Yeah,
their what do you call it?
Their GPSs?
No.
Their compasses?
The compasses. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you readjust your compass. Yeah.
What do you use for a base? I imagine what they're doing is they're saying north
they
is now
is
this
they
direction.
Say, okay, I don't worry about it because it's such a small amount. I have 20-year-old compasses. I'm not worried about that because it's such a small amount. But if a small amount with a boat or an airplane can cause you to be 100 miles offshore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
going to Japan would be significant.
Well,
you'd
miss
the
whole
North Star.
But I don't worry about that.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it's constant.
North Star?
And GPS, and a lot of these things, it's an automatic adjustment. Just like there's a lot of automatic adjustments with a computer.
You know, what you're describing and what we were talking about the magnetic world model, I wonder if that explains why you jump into an old car with its own built-in GPS, and many times you'll find you're driving alongside the road that you're on instead of actually on the road. I wonder if that has something to do with those kinds of experiences.
The cars we drive don't have GPSs in there, so they are.
Well, I'm trying to relate to a circumstance that has happened. They've been in cars that had. Well, most GPS now we don't think of as.
Eight, 10 years old?
Come across the border, the map would never be on the same
Right.
Yeah.
We had one, like you said, where we'd be all parallel with the road, about 100 yards off to one side.
See, that's what I'm describing. Is like that we used to have GPSs that weren't easy to upgrade with maps or new information. They were kind of isolated devices. Mm-hmm. And so you get into one of those cars, and it'd be like, how come this shows me in the lake? The road is 100 yards that direction.
Yeah, they never figured it out.
Well, part of that is the government has never wanted, with the old GPSs, and the government has never wanted you to know exactly where you are. And on boats, it happens all the time, where GPS shows you on shore.
Well, no, that changed. I mean,
that has changed.
Yeah, they've gotten much more accurate down to feet, whereas before it was like blocks away from you.
Right.
And that was intentional by the U.S. government because they didn't want to share that information. It was considered a security risk because they were using it.
What about DirecTV finding the signal for that? How often is that? I mean, when you come down here and try and find the signal.
You know, it's not related to what we're talking about, but it is an issue because they move satellites.
Oh.
And so when they move satellites for different kinds of coverage, that's when it becomes an issue.
Oh.
Yeah. It also becomes an issue if they start broadcasting at different frequency ranges, because different frequency ranges are more available than others given the distance from where you are. I mean, the higher frequency waves don't go as far, and so you need to be closer because they fizzle out quicker. And that's one of the things that has happened when they switched to HD programming and you needed to get two dishes to capture the entire spectrum down here, whereas you're still in that footprint when you were in the United States. They had the tolerances in the United States, but you lost the tolerances out here because it's on the cusp. Irving has had his hand up a couple of times here.
I just want to answer the thing that Bob said. In marine, every area has a different deviation to true north. And if you want it to be really lined up, you can use their benchmark and adjust it yourself according to the area. But if you really need it, like I am a commercial fisherman, there are technicians that come aboard your boat and they line you and give you the exact deviation you need. In aviation, it doesn't matter because they're using signals set from an azimuth that goes around and you're following this. It doesn't matter what the deviation is because the system's VOR or whatever it might be actually puts a 360-degree signal out, and you follow that signal regardless of what north is.
So I could imagine, it's kind of like Wi-Fi for planes, right? Like if that network went down, you'd have a lot of trouble controlling where these planes are navigated to.
The system runs on land-based directional.
And with the sophistication we have now, I bet that includes updating compasses for the regional area so that our plane infrastructure actually doesn't have to give it that much thought. It's all taken care of because this is the way we've always done it.
Well, it's fixed, so you don't have a choice.
Interesting. And a whole area that I had no experience with until this morning when I was reading about these drones. Well, guys, we have reached the end of our club meeting. Has anybody not gotten to say something? Half our table is gone.
If they have, they've left.
They've missed their opportunity.
Take your headphones off.
Bob, I am going to make a point of experimenting like you.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm sorry, I've got cables behind you.
No, that's okay. I just forgot about that. That's okay. I'll just lift it.
Oh, there you go. I think that should give you enough room. There you go.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for showing up for the first meeting of 2020, San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions, and if you guys have a computer problem, I would appreciate you using my solutions. So get a hold of me either locally. These are my daughters coming to be in the frame. Aw, that's so sweet. Love you guys. Look at this. Aw, they really care about me. So, if you're in San Carlos looking for computer experts, please get a hold of International Computer Solutions. You can call us locally at 226-0209. You can get a hold of us through our website at internationalcs.net, or you can write me an email, scott@internationalcs.net. If you've enjoyed this meeting and you're interested in others like it, or you want to see next week's meeting, check out our website at sccclub.org. There it is at the top of the screen. Everybody is filtered out of here. I need to put away this equipment and get on with my day. Until next week, tech on.
Are you talking to yourself?
I am. I'm talking to the multiples of ones and tens people out there. All four of them are out there.